this morning on KBOO's Radio Zine is speaking of animals with Lori Sonnenfeld. After that, at 10 a.m., it's People Rise Up, and at 11, Democracy Now.
Song Choosing Sides, and I'm really excited to be here with Lauren McCall, who's an animal communicator. And Lauren, we're going to talk to you in a minute. You could say hi.
Hello.
But I want to tell folks a little bit first, give you a couple of news briefs, and then we're going to talk about animal communication a little bit. First off, I want to mention that on Thursday, the upper chamber in the Austrian parliament has agreed to ban ape experiments. You can look that up on the web if you want to know more, but it's a pretty exciting step. They say today's decision might not have immediate practical consequences since there are no current ape experiments in Austria at this time, but it does more than guarantee that there won't be any such experiments in the future. It sends a signal to the rest of Europe and the world where such experiments still take place. And another interesting bit, foreign big game hunters will be banished from a vast area of Western Canada's wilderness, local environmentalists said, announcing an unusual purchase of a commercial hunting license. The Rainforest Conservation Foundation privately raised $1.35 million Canadian dollars to buy one of North America's largest guide outfitters, Bella Coola Outfitters Company. We bought exclusive rights for the commercial trophy hunting of a wide range of species in perpetuity. It covers 7,700 square miles on the central coast of British Columbia, Canada's westernmost province. Wild creatures who live there include carnivores such as grizzly and black bears, a mutant white bear that native groups call the spirit bear, wolves, and cougars. Really interesting work they're doing. And the last bit I want to share with you, you may have heard this on the news, but Captain Paul Watson of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society has been confronting, along with some Greenpeace boats, some Japanese whalers. And on December 27th, the Director General of the Institute for Commerce posing as cetacean research. This is according to a letter from Sea Shepherd Society, sent an open letter to Greenpeace Japan accusing Greenpeace and the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society of piracy and made hysterical accusations of eco-terrorism. And Paul Watson says, if I am an eco-terrorist, then why was I not arrested for such? Why am I traveling freely on my Canadian passport as a resident of the United States? Anyway, it's all very exciting, and again, you should search Sea Shepherd and Japanese whaling, and you'll find all sorts of stories on it. But he says one more thing. It is not illegal to interfere on the high seas against their illegal whaling activities. In fact, we are legally authorized to do so in accordance with the UN World Charter for Nature. The story was also that the Japanese, one of the Japanese whaling ships, was about to ram and plow right into the Sea Shepherd ship, the Farley Moat, and they threw out at the last minute, the Sea Shepherd ship threw out a line into the water, a mooring line, and that caused the Japanese ship to turn because it would have gotten caught in its propellers. So, interesting stuff.
Yeah, quick thinking on their part.
Yes. Well, they're interesting, quick thinkers.
I guess you have to improvise in a situation like that.
Yeah. It's. Anyway, I'm getting, every day in my mailbox, I get something new about this Japanese whaling ship and the Sea Shepherd and the Greenpeace folks out there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was in Japan last week, and every time I go, because I'm a big sushi fan, I'm offered whale meat.
Oh.
Yeah, which is, I at first did a really good job of just politely declining, and then I couldn't stand it anymore and had to express some opinions about it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that it's eaten as commonly as it used to be, for sure. I know, I know a lot of people of younger generations don't eat whale meat at all. But some of the older generation people do, and
And they say it's all for research, and
which is why they sell it in sushi bars,
right? I guess so. So Lauren, what happens when you have a communications session with an animal, or do you want to start with a little bit more general about what is animal communication?
Well, it might be useful just for those folks out there who may not be clear about what it is. Basically, what we're talking about is engaging in telepathic communication with an animal. So it really is telepathy. It's not something, you know, if people want to sit and observe a session, frankly, there's not a heck of a lot to hear. You know, it all happens telepathically.
Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting there having a session, either in person or long distance, and what happens?
Well, you know, every being has its own unique vibration. I think a lot of people are aware of that. And what we do when we engage in telepathy is we tune into that unique vibration that or in my case, that animal has. It's a little bit like tuning into the KBOO radio station that has its own, you know, unique radio frequency. So basically what is required to become a communicator is that you become adept at tuning into those kind of frequencies.
Mm-hmm. And then you speak to them in your mind, or?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, my work varies quite a bit. I have some private clients when I'm actually in town. I teach a lot of workshops and I travel quite a bit. And of course I communicate with my own companion animals and, you know, friends' animals and things like that. But a lot of times when people engage me to make a connection on their behalf with their companions is they'll give me a list of questions, you know, things that they really want to tell them or ask their animals or get their opinions on. And, you know, I also always encourage people to give the animal an opportunity to talk about anything that they want to bring up. You know, otherwise it's kind of a one-sided agenda.
So I love hearing about validations. What are some of the experiences that validated for you that you're really interacting with animals in this communication?
You know, it's an interesting question, and they vary so widely, and there's so many of them. I'll just pick a couple. It can be something fairly profound. One of the earliest experiences that I have had My partner Helen's parents live in England, just outside of Bath. And a few years ago, they had a cat named Tippy, who began behaving kind of strangely, out of character. You know, she didn't stop eating or anything, but she started vocalizing a little bit or hanging out in places that she shouldn't be, and, you know, that kind of thing, just things that were out of character for her. Now, Helen's parents are, you know, late 60s, early 70s then, and I can only imagine what they might think of animal communication, but, you know, they're very open-minded people. And when they called Helen and told her what was going on with the cat, Helen suggested that I connect with Tippy. So I did, which is something that you can do long distance using telepathic communication. And I kind of asked her, you know, well, what's going on? You know, how are you feeling? Is everything all right? And she told me that she had a pain on the lower, to be honest, I can't remember if it was the left or right-hand side of her jaw, but she was specific about whatever side it was, let's say the left-hand side, and that she was uncomfortable and that she had been acting strangely to call attention to herself. So Helen dutifully called her dad, who must have thought I don't know what, but bless his little cotton socks, he took Tippy to the vet the next day. I have no idea what he said to the vet in terms of what kind of information he received, but the vet did an exam, and though there was nothing obviously wrong with Tippy's jaw, at least looking at it externally, and as I say, she had been eating, when he really started looking around in there, he found a cancerous tumor there. And they were able to remove it, and Tippy lived, quite a number of years after that. So mm-hmm. That's a fairly dramatic example.
That must have been profound for you.
You know, it was, because it happened at a time very early on when I was learning how to do animal communication. And I spent 3 years practicing and making sure that I wasn't a fraud before I took money from people. Because, you know, it's kind of a woo-woo thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really sort of out there. And I wanted to make sure that I was legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of a result is fairly hard to deny, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helped give me the confidence to carry on and keep practicing.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose a more pedestrian experience, cats sometimes don't get along with each other. Of course, this happens with all animals and certainly mm-hmm. people. But I do get a number of calls from people who have, say, for example, may have introduced a new cat into the home where there was already, animals living there. And I had one very recently, a couple of cats that had been feuding with each other for, I think it was 6 or 8 months. And they would have little skirmishes and basically just not get within 6 feet of each other, if at all possible. And so I went and had I communicated with both of them, separately, of course, and tried to find out what the story was. And the cat that had been there before really felt impinged upon, as you can imagine. And she didn't really want another cat in the house. And she said, why did you bring in another cat? And when I do these communication sessions, it's interesting that, I am speaking on behalf of the person who's engaged me, so I was speaking on behalf of their mom, as she uh-huh. thought of herself.
Uh-huh.
And I explained that she brought this other cat into the house because she needed a home, that she needed love, just like her first cat, who had also been rescued from a shelter,
uh-huh.
and that the cat had been on the street and lonely and hungry and sick. And it was very interesting because from that moment on, the first cat really changed her attitude. I mean, there was a perceptible pause as though she was thinking and then a real shift. So I kind of felt as though we'd made some progress, and I asked her to be tolerant and patient and just a little bit more gracious. And I got home after my session. And I had an email from this woman, and she said, you're not going to believe this. As soon as you left, the cat that had been there before jumped up on the sofa, walked over to the new cat, licked her on the head, and then curled up and went to sleep with her.
Oh.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
That's really great.
I don't call that mundane.
No, you're right.
That's
not.
That's miraculous. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really nice. And, you know, it doesn't always work that profoundly well.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, a lot of at least what I try to do is to raise awareness of different points of view of, you know, if there's some sort of a contention between animals or people in the house, at least if you are able to express the other's point of view and kind of negotiate things, it's
mm-hmm.
often tremendously helpful.
Mm-hmm. Good. So how did you come to start teaching in Japan and Europe and elsewhere?
Well, Japan actually came through my friend and business partner, Debbie Potts, who's a Tellington Touch instructor, and she had been teaching over there for a number of years for a private dog club that only does positive training, and she invites the woman who owns the dog club is actually a former Japanese pop star. She's kind of a hoot, sort of the Petula Clark era. Anyway, Debbie invited me over with this woman's permission to assist her doing T-Touch classes,
uh-huh.
which, of course, I was thrilled to do. And then they found out that I did animal communication, and from there it just blossomed. The woman in Japan had I have a CD and DVD set that teaches people how to do animal communication at home, and she had them translated into Japanese.
Oh,
it's great. Oh, it's wonderful. And uh-huh. It's really doing very well over there. I go over every 6 months and have private sessions and teach classes. And we do what we can to work near or around shelters and help people with, you know, what's going on near the shelters. And we do as much education as we can.
Uh-huh.
So it's a terrific experience. You know, the Japan is, pet is not a word that I personally use very much, but they do. The pet market in Japan is just booming.
Uh-huh.
People are having kids later or not at all, and they're starting to have animals, companion animals in their homes instead.
Uh-huh.
So there's this kind of enormous educational vacuum about positive training, or, you know, how what animals need and what they want, and the fact that they are unique beings and individuals with wishes, dreams, and desires of their own. So this is a very good time for us to be over there doing communication and T-Touch.
Oh, that's great. So before we go on to the topic of your upcoming class, I have to know, do you ever have animals contact you, perhaps ones you've talked with before?
That's a good question, and to be sure, a lot of people ask me that. You know, I do actually draw the distinction, though many would disagree with me, between being a telepathic communicator and being a what I would call a true psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, psychics for me are wonderfully gifted people who can, you know, pick up an object or a dog collar and tell you everything about the dog or what the cat ate for dinner or whatever. And I think that they tend to pick things up more readily than someone like me who actually tunes into that frequency that I talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have a lot of animal chatter in my head, thank God. But, you know, certainly with my own animals, I find that there's kind of an open line of communication more often. But truly, I don't walk down the street and hear, you know, cats walking across the street talking to me, which I think is a good thing, really.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, tell us about this class you're going to be doing in January that I know you've done before.
Yeah, I've done a number of them at New Renaissance Bookshop. And I have to tell you, it's a topic that's near and dear to my heart. The class is about losing a beloved animal. And for those of us that are animal lovers and that share our lives with animals, it's something that we all, unfortunately, experience at one time or another. And since we accept pets into our, or animals into our lives as part of the family, it is a truly painful and gut-wrenching experience. You know, it's very difficult. So the class is really meant to empower people who have lost animals or who are just interested in this subject with knowledge of how the animal views life, death, and reincarnation. And this is not a class that's given from any religious perspective whatsoever. It is given purely from the animal's perspective, and they tend to be very spiritual in their outlook, but not religious. I've never run across a cat that was Methodist or a dog that was Jewish. It doesn't seem to work that way. But this class has been so inspiring for me that I actually have written a book on it and got a literary agent, and I'm looking for a publisher for it. But it's a very interesting thing, and what people tell me after the class, they have a couple of different reactions. For some people, it's truly a cathartic experience. I've had a lot of people come up to me after the class or email me later or call me and say, you know, thank you, I'm finally able to move on and either let go of grief or guilt or whatever it is that they were carrying with them. For some people, it's just a really interesting and uplifting opportunity to see how animals view themselves, their place, you know, in the life cycle, and how they feel about reincarnation and things like that.
And when and where is the class?
It's at New Renaissance Bookshop, and it's January 15th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m.
And so if they're, we'll talk more about it, but if people are interested, do you know how they?
Yeah, they can either go to my website, www.integratedanimal.com, or you can contact New Renaissance directly, and their phone number is 503-224-4929. They also have a website, www.newren, that's R-E-N, books.
So what happened? Now, the stories that you tell in the workshop, some of them are from animals who are living, and some of them are not.
Usually they're from animals who have passed on. Yeah.
And how did you come to start communicating with animals who had passed on?
With a great sense of trepidation, I can assure you. I had a client call me and say, well, you know, Sophie's died, and I wonder if you could connect with her for me. And I thought, huh? And I said, well, yeah, I understand it's possible. I'll let me give it a shot. And it was the most wonderful transforming experience, because I think that I had been very afraid that the animal would be... although my own personal spiritual beliefs would mitigate against this, but, you know, I was afraid that the animal would say that she was lonely and lost and, you know, by herself somewhere, and that the transition was difficult and all that kind of thing. And it wasn't the case at all. The uniform message that seems to come back is that they're on the other side in a place of unconditional love, with beings and souls that they had traveled with before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds all very idyllic, but actually it does sound very idyllic. I mean, that's kind of what I keep getting back. So after that initial experience, the universe just kind of moved me in this direction, truly, because it's not as though I started advertising, you know, to talk to dead animals. You know, it didn't happen that way at all. But after I'd done that first one, more and more and more people began to ask me to do it, and it's probably... at least 45% of my communication work. It's something that I do a lot.
Wow.
It's very interesting.
That's great.
It is. It helps a lot of people. It really does.
And so, do you want to tell a story about, a specific story about an animal who's passed over?
Well, you know, it might be interesting to just tell you very briefly about... one of my animals, actually, who died, who actually brought me to this work and brought me to the Tellington Touch work, very briefly. My partner moved here. My partner and I moved here from England a few years ago, and unfortunately, about 6 months after we arrived, my father passed away very suddenly, and we opened our home to his wonderful Malamute, Rue, who was about 10 years old at the time. Anyway, she subsequently developed various health issues, and I was looking for help for her and learned T-Touch, and that was hugely successful. And I learned about animal communication. You know, I just learned about what it was, and I thought, wow, is there anything more interesting than learning to talk to animals? So I learned how to do that, largely so that I could keep in touch with how she was feeling and how her health stuff was progressing. Anyway, Rue really helped me and was very... patient with my learning process and that kind of thing. And she died at the age of 14, which is pretty good for a Malamute. And I grieved mightily, really. It was a tremendous blow, not only because I lost the companionship and lost a mentor and a teacher. But, you know, she was Dad's dog, and it became very, you know, it was complex on a lot of levels. And interestingly enough, I connected with her not too long after she had passed, and what she said to me was that she wanted to continue to work with me and be one of my guides. So, of course, I was thrilled, as you can well imagine. And now, sometimes, particularly when I'm connecting with an animal who's died, maybe I'm having a little trouble finding them or making a connection, I'll call on Rue to help me find them. And I did this just yesterday with a horse I was communicating with for someone. I couldn't find the horse myself, and I asked her if Rue could, you know, intervene, could she help me? And she literally brought the horse to me.
Mm.
It was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very powerful thing.
And I bet, you don't have to go into detail, but I bet you get some, because we just have about 3 minutes left, but I bet you get some interesting validations in the work with animals who've passed on as well.
Oh,
information,
yeah,
that they give you,
yeah,
that makes it clear to you and the others, their person,
yep,
that you're really talking with them.
There's no question. You know, sometimes they give me specific messages for people or perspectives on what's going on in their life, or they'll,
mm-hmm,
you know, they'll say something like, don't worry about the work thing, it'll all turn out fine, you know, and someone will burst into tears and say, oh my God, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's really nice. And I think the main thing is that it really comforts people. You know,
yeah,
they know that their animal is in a place of bliss and joy, and,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't fill the gap that the animal left behind, but at least you're not, you know, you know that they're okay, that,
yeah,
they're happy.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us again, the class is?
The class is January 15th.
And what's it called?
Losing a Loved Animal.
Okay.
And it's all about life, death, and reincarnation from the animal's point of view. And we'll actually do an exercise during the class that may help people learn how to connect with their own animal. It'll at least give them an idea on how it might work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then you also have classes that you teach in animal communication.
I do. You know, I'm a victim of my own success. I have so many things going on all over the world and the country. I'm not teaching one in Portland for a while, but they are going on all over the place, and there are the DVD sets that are available as well.
And those are on the website?
They are. It's www.integratedanimal.com.
And what about a phone number for you?
503-704-7499.
704-7499. Okay. And again, that class is on the 15th of January at New Renaissance Books. And their phone number is 503-224-4929. They're in Northwest Portland on 23rd at Petty Grove. And it's a nice room where they have that class.
It's a very nice room. They've got a whole new annex building there, and there's plenty,
yeah,
of space. It's very nice.
And it's from 2 to 4.
2 to 5.
2 to 5.
Right.
And that's a Saturday, or?
It's a Sunday.
A Sunday.
Sunday afternoon.
Great. Well, I thank you so much. I've been talking with Lauren McCall, animal communicator, and I'm so glad to have gotten to spend this time with you, Lauren.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for everyone who's listening, and do something nice for your animals today.